again to another edition of the MLS Multiplex Podcast, coming immediately after a World Cup qualifier between the United States and Trinidad and Tobago. And my name is Jordan Jacobson, your host here with Dan Garza. How's it going, man?
Going good. Excited about the result tonight.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we'll just dive right into it right here. So obviously it was, well, the first half was interesting. I thought the United States sat back a little bit. I thought they would come right at Trinidad and Tobago, but they were willing to kind of concede possession a little bit and sit back while Trinidad and Tobago parked the bus. But the second half was the Christian Pulisic show, man. And the hype is real. The hype is real. So what did you think going away? What was some major key points that stood out for you?
Yeah, well, like you said, I was a little surprised they didn't come out maybe a little more attack-minded. They kind of just sat back and seemed to kind of, I guess it looked maybe like they were just kind of waiting to see kind of what Trinidad was going to do. But yeah, I was a little surprised they didn't score in the first half. I definitely thought, you know, we might be up one or two goals at the half, but that didn't happen. I got a little nervous when I think it was one of the Trinidad players hit the crossbar. I think it was Jones, the Atlanta United striker, almost scored there. So that, I was like, wow, like, you know, this might be a one of those games that comes back to haunt you. But I definitely thought that the second half went well. I mean, Pulisic was just everywhere all night, and he just continues to shine. And it's just really awesome watching him create plays and then finish plays as well. It's really exciting watching him. He's definitely got a bright future here ahead of him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like you said, so the first half, it was kind of nervy because, you know, this was technically not a must win, but it really was a must win. These are the games that you need to take advantage of if you're going to, you know, advance. And we do have to make up some ground from our slow start from the last time we played Trinidad and Tobago. But, you know, John Michael Williams, the goalkeeper for Trinidad, he did really well tonight, especially in the first half. That was the thing, is that we were creating all sorts of chances. But, you know, he finished the night with 7 saves, most of them coming from the first half. And the one that got me really nervy was the Altidore header into the middle of nowhere. And what's his name? Highland? Yeah, Kaleem Highland. He got it, just, you know, cranked it from about 30 yards, and it just skipped right past the post. Luckily, you know, on the opposite side. But like you said, after that, it was all Christian Pulisic, and he had a little bit of help, though. I thought that DeAndre Yedlin played really well. I thought Donington Nagby played really well. And even Altidore and Dempsey, you know, made a couple of key plays and key passes down the stretch. And, you know, there was about that first 20 minutes, and that was the real deciding factor. But moving on right here, so we're watching Mexico and Honduras as we speak. Here we are rolling into the 78th minute. Right here, Mexico already up 3-0, so we're heading for a collision course with El Tri in Mexico. So what are you looking for in that match following, you know, Trinidad and Tobago and with what they're doing to Honduras right here? What's your realistic expectation of what's going to happen?
Well, it's always kind of gone the same way the U.S. match did. A lot of the goals here come in the second half. Yeah. But, I mean, Mexico just opening up the Honduras defense right now. They're finding the through balls. They're getting the balls over the top, and the finishing has been really well as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough match definitely on Sunday because they're an informed side right now, and they're hungry, and they want to continue to show their dominance in the CONCACAF Cup after kind of a disappointing qualifying campaign last time out. But, yeah, they're for sure the better team, I think, right now in the qualifying group, and it will be a tough match going into Azteca on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so I want to get your thoughts right here. So, you know, last time we played Mexico was when Jurgen Klinsmann was in charge. He came out in the 3-5, let's see, I think it was a 3-5-2 with Pulisic in the middle. You know, it was kind of out of nowhere. And we found out after they didn't really practice it as much. But we saw that same formation a little bit against Venezuela. You know, Mexico likes to play with that, with a similar formation. So what do you think? Do you think the United States would be better off in a 3-5-2 just to kind of match up better, or do you think they kind of maintain a similar shape that they had tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a tough call for Bruce Arena going in. I mean, I would probably say to go out with a 3-5-2, but, you know, you never know what could happen. You know, they might try to come out with the same formation tonight. I just don't see that happening. I think it's just too big of a match to kind of maybe be too experimental in the formation. But I mean, they could. I mean, it worked tonight, obviously, at times. But I just think that that they're gonna have to come out in that 3-5-2 if they're gonna really, I think, compete off the bat against Mexico.
For sure, for sure. I see that too. And you know, that's the thing. As we're watching just right here, you mentioned that, you know, Mexico is really taking advantage of the through balls and getting over the top. And really, they are just dominating possession through the middle, which is, you know, part of having, you know, so many midfield pieces. And also, Rafa Márquez is really good out of the back. But yeah, I agree. I think that if we're playing to win, they're going to go with the 3-5-2, and it'll just be interesting to see what pieces they put in. That 3-5-2. We saw Keylor Acosta come in a little bit. I think he adds, you know, some versatility. He can cover a lot of ground. Nagby obviously is going to be somebody that stays there with Pulisic. But it'll be interesting to see how they match it up, because they could put DeAndre Yedlin and Fabian Johnson as the wing backs and run it that way. But we'll see. You know, I'm also a little worried that they're going to get gassed on the short turnaround. So we'll see. We'll see. But for your expectations, if the United States is going to win, what would you say needs to happen?
I do think the play of the backs is going to be hugely important. I think Yedlin and Johnson in that back line are definitely going to have to make sure they're covering the runs. And they're going to have to, I think, stay on their toes. And, you know, there'll be a little temptation maybe to get forward. But, yeah, I just think that the midfield, too, is going to be a huge factor in the match. And Mexico definitely is going to try to shut down Pulisic as much as possible. And they're definitely going to have to find those passes they did tonight where they can open up a defense and get in behind. And hopefully we can see a little bit more from Altidore. I think he didn't really have the best of match tonight, but yeah, I definitely think that at least the draw might be doable. I'm not sure if they can win though.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You know that they've never won a qualifier in the Azteca, but you know, there's a first for everything. But like you said,
Yeah.
I agree. You know, I got kind of nervous at a couple points tonight. I think most of it was because of how Trinidad and Tobago was playing. But at times, you know, John Brooks or Jeff Cameron were coming clear across the midfield, and I think at one point I saw John Brooks actually make it to like the 18-yard box on a run. You know, just there. Trinidad was sitting back so far that one of them would creep up with the attack, just trying to help unlock the bus and everything that way. Obviously, if they do that against Mexico, things could get really ugly really fast, you know, because they counter so fast and they have everything going that way. So I'm curious to see who plays. You know, John Brooks, he got hurt against Venezuela. He played tonight, won a full 90. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe we see Omar Gonzalez or Matt Beisler. You know, they're all on sitting on yellow card suspensions too, you know, just to risk. But obviously, they made it safe through, so they can, you know, get one against Mexico. No big deal. But it'll be interesting to see how they sub and everything that way. But I agree with you with Altidore as well. You know, Mexico doesn't like to play physical, and Altidore, he's the big body up front. If he's willing to do it, he can cause some havoc up there. And you know, hopefully we can grind out a point, or you know, get something to slip our way and get out of there 1-0 or something like that. We almost got them, you know, in Columbus, so we'll see what happens. But anyway, you have any other thoughts before we move on right here? Talk about the U.S. women.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Sunday. I think it'll be a really fun match.
Sure, for sure. So moving ahead right here, like I said, U.S. women played Sweden today in Sweden. You know, just they had an international friendly, and the 1-0, Rose Lavelle got it from Crystal Dunn in the 56th minute. And did you watch this match, or what did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought they played well. It wasn't maybe the best performance because Sweden did have chances to score, but they just couldn't finish. And but yeah, I mean, Lavelle's a really exciting player. She's only 22, I believe, and her and Crystal Dunn worked really well together. And that was exciting to watch two young players kind of carry the team offensively in the match. And yeah, I mean, it's a good result. I think Sweden was seventh in the world coming into this match as far as the FIFA rankings concerned. So it was a good win to get some confidence back after kind of that disappointing performance in the Tbilisi tournament
Yeah.
in March, where they lost to France and England, which wasn't a very good tournament for them. And of course they kind of beat up on Russia on those two matches in April, but yeah, the team's looking better, and hopefully they can kind of keep this momentum going for the rest of the year. And Norway should be a good test on Sunday too. So yeah, things are looking up though. It's looking good.
Sure, for sure. And what do you think about the Alex Morgan injury, just out of curiosity? So obviously there's not she's it was just if I remember right, it was just a minor hamstring injury, but they don't really have a big tournament moving forward. But there's always the question, you know, we got Carly Lloyd coming down the pipe as well, but who is the next person that's going to fill in and be that great force up front that the US women are known for?
Yeah, well, I think Lynn Williams, who got called up to replace Morgan, unfortunately she got injured in training yesterday, so she was not available for the match today, which is kind of ironic. But yeah, she's having a really good season right now for the North Carolina Courage in the NWSL, and she definitely has the ability to score goals. And you know, she's not necessarily maybe the a player that's been kind of on the radar of as far as world-class players go, but you know, she definitely gets the job done, and I think she's at the moment a really good replacement for Morgan, even though it looks like it's going to be a short-term injury. You know, hopefully she can show something here, depending on how bad her injury is. But yeah, definitely going back a little bit to Morgan though. The latest I heard is she's expected to be back at the end of the month sometime, playing for the Orlando Pride. Obviously, she just got back from Europe. But yeah, I don't think she'll be out for too long. So that'll definitely be good, especially in the end of July when they have their next set of matches.
For sure. For sure. And yeah, she had a great run through the I'm blanking on the name right now. The She Believes Cup? No, the Champions League for women. I guess it's just Women's
Yeah, yeah,
Champions League. Yeah. And
yeah. She
so
was playing for Lyon in France. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. And you had a really good article about that too, just talking about how well she performed in the tournament. And it just shows what kind of a world-class talent she is. But you know, that's the thing, you know, she filled in for Emmy Wambach and just behind him, there's not a clear up and comer, at least on the world stage, like you said. But you know, obviously, it's still early. She's only 27. She's got, you know, a couple more tournaments in her before it becomes a major issue. But obviously, something to monitor going forward. And speaking of young up and comers, we'll just round it out right here with the U20 World Cup. You know, the United States competed in that. They fell just this last week to Venezuela, who just advanced to the championship. But they had a pretty good run. You know, they won their group, even though it was kind of an ugly way to win their group with 3 points or with 5 points, you know, coming with a win and two draws. But what were your major thoughts going away? So I obviously looked at this with a little more perspective geared toward Real Salt Lake, who I cover for MLS Multiplex. And we had, you know, four Real Salt Lake players and one Academy player on the team. So I was really looking close to those guys. But what were some of your major takeaways from the tournament?
Well, obviously, I think the biggest one has been Josh Sargent, the striker.
Oh, definitely.
I think yeah, he just had a huge tournament. I mean, he's been so impressive. He had a big tournament at the U17 CONCACAF Championships, and he just continues to impress. There's news of him. Looks like he's going to sign for Werder Bremen in Germany, and he's definitely a player to watch for in the next few years because I think he can definitely come on to the U.S. national team potentially, you know, in the next 3 to 4 years on the senior level. So I think he was probably maybe the biggest, I won't say surprise, but definitely one of the impact players on the team.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
Brooks Lennon was definitely impressive, the Real Salt Lake on loan right now from Liverpool. But he's another player that's really exciting offensively to watch. And yeah, I just think that overall this is a good group moving forward. Definitely, hopefully, we can see them at the senior level in the next few years. And you know, even though they did make it, you know, they made it to the semifinals. I think the quarterfinals was a fair result. Venezuela's going on to the final to face England, so it's not like they lost to a team maybe that they shouldn't have or weren't
Yeah,
deserving. So
in fact, they
yeah,
probably shouldn't even have taken that extra time, to be honest. So they were pretty good.
yeah, yeah. They've been really impressive. In the tournament, so that should be a good final between them and England. But
Definitely.
yeah, those are just some of the takeaways I had.
Yeah, so I thought, yeah, like you said, Sargent had a huge tournament. I thought going in that, excuse me, the MLB say would be the one that it would feature up top, but right from the beginning it was Sargent, and I was a little surprised as well. We can talk about people who weren't called in. That Haji Wright was one person that I thought probably deserved to get in. Obviously, Weston McKennie, but whatever Schalke, whatever the reasoning or whatever happened, they weren't there, and they weren't necessarily missed because of Josh Sargent's play and because of what Brooks Lennon was going to do. Gideon Zelalem, he's been kind of off the radar for a little while playing. I think it's like in the third division in the Netherlands, or wherever he ended up. Yeah, so he's not really playing there either. So he's just kind of just kind of fell off a little bit. But he gets hurt in the first game after they were already down. I think they were already down 3-0 when he got hurt. It might have just been 2-0. But they sub him out. The New York Red Bulls guy, Derek Jones, or no, he's a Philadelphia Union guy. He comes in, fills in great, cranks him all the way back, and they that was a great comeback win, against Ecuador, and it kind of set the tone for the whole tournament. Like I said before, they ended up going on winning their group, and yeah, like you said, they performed well. So, but moving forward right here, I remember just I listened to something this week that was talking about performances and teams that have played well in this tournament. I think it was Matt Doyle. He was talking about how like Costa Rica, this Costa Rica team that just made a run of the World Cup, Chile, the one that upset Argentina in Copa America these 2 years in a row, and everything that way, that they all had really good World Cup runs or U20 World Cup runs. So what do you think is ahead for this group? And do you think that they're going to be one of the groups that's going to have the ability to take us over the edge?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting discussion, kind of what Dory was talking about, just about the success rate after the U20 World Cup. Because sometimes there are countries maybe that don't go on to see those players kind of succeed at the senior level as they did at the junior level. But I definitely think that some of these guys can definitely have an impact internationally. Obviously, guys like Lennon might not stay in the MLS depending on how things work out. With a club like
Yeah.
Liverpool, for example, and then with Sargent going over to Germany, I think that's really exciting. Just because you get a good blend of players that stay domestically, but you also have them, the ones that are also going to play overseas. And I think it's gonna be pretty crucial moving forward. Because I think right now on the senior team, obviously you see that you have guys in the MLS, but you also have guys playing in Germany. And yeah, I just think that those guys going overseas are gonna be really the ones to watch, I think, moving forward though. And but you do have guys like Tyler Adams from the New York Red Bulls who are very impressive as well. And they could also make the move to Europe. It's not for sure they're gonna stay here in the MLS. And yeah, it is exciting though, because honestly, at least as long as I've been a fan, I haven't really seen a younger group of players as talented or I guess highly coveted as these guys have been.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And one of them, obviously it's kind of easy to forget, but Pulisic, the guy who scored twice tonight in World Cup qualifying, is younger than these guys. He was
Yeah,
eligible to
exactly.
play
Yeah.
with these guys. And so obviously he's going to be a key piece moving forward, and it'll be interesting to see how they build around him. But like you said, Lennon, he looks like he can be a big time player. And I thought that the defense actually showed really well. They had a couple of injuries as well. Cameron Carter-Vickers, he's a good player that'll be nice to have in the pipe moving forward. And then Eric Palmer Brown, the guy from Sporting Kansas City, like you said, that was a good blend of MLS and international play in between them. They also had Justin Glad, and well, basically all the Real Salt Lake guys were kind of thrown all around those two. Justin Glad ended up playing right back, but he's been pretty dominant as a center back in MLS play. And then newcomer Danny Acosta, he got thrown out at left back, even though he played center back for Real Monarchs all last year. But they've got some versatility, and like you said, it's just a healthy blend moving forward, and it'll be interesting to see who sticks around. And obviously, I was thinking about today, it's just crazy how Christian Pulisic ended up coming out just out of nowhere, relatively, compared to everybody else. And part of that is because he's so young, but at the same time, who's to say that there's not a couple more of those that could come down the pipeline and blend that in with all those guys that weren't at the tournament, the Haji Wrights and the Weston McKinneys that we already talked about. And it'll be interesting. So I think, maybe we're getting closer. I don't know if we've got a squad together that can, beat the Germanys or the Argentinas or the Brazils just quite yet, but we're knocking on the door.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. We're making progress.
That's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I guess we'll wrap it up right here. The Mexico and Honduras have finished. I think I'm pulling it up right now. I think Panama and Costa Rica have finished as well. They're about to end in a 0-0 draw. Yeah, they did. So that pulled the United States up into third place. So now we're in the safe zone, which is nice, which is part of the goal we were going to. But so going into Sunday, what's your official prediction for what's going to happen? You can be as homerish as you want, and I won't. I don't blame you.
I'm gonna go with a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. Bold.
Yeah.
Very bold. Very bold. I'm gonna go. I actually kind of like 2-2, but I want to mix it up. So I'm gonna go 2-1. United States. Gritty, gutsy performance. We get an early goal. They tie it up somewhere in the middle, and then we get a late goal to get out of the Azteca. First time ever victors. That's my optimistic, a little bit of a dreamer homer pick right there. So we'll see what happens. But like you said, I'll be happy with the 2-2. So, but anyway, man, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for everybody checking out the podcast, and we'll see you again in the future.